live and local on AM 770 KTTH. Your independent conservative host, Todd Herman, welcomes you to The Todd Herman Show.
Today is the day the Lord has made, and these are the times in which the Lord has decided we shall live. And they do present a unique set of responsibilities for us. And one of them is to be able to just point to absurdities. Yes, we're going to create small communities, and we're going to get further locked together in the real world and do what we can to be self-sustaining, because what the left and the statists have planned, and the technocrats, it's clear. They intend to corner conservatives and tell there is no possibility of us being fundamental to the public square. Which means it's very important that we point things out like this. Last night, a video surfaced of Joe Biden's dementia being guided by Jill Biden into a building. And it looks like to me like maybe one of the side entrances to the White House. And when I say Joe Biden's dementia, I'm not saying that to be mean. I'm saying that to be accurate. This man is in an advanced state of dementia. He's walking in. Well, no, he's not. He's being guided in by Jill Biden. He has that look on his face that you've seen if you have had loved ones with dementia. And I have very recently. And that he actually happened to look a little bit like Joe Biden. And as they approach the doorway where there are Marine guards, Joe Biden says the strangest thing. He's shuffling along with the Alzheimer's shuffle, which is a thing. And he says, "Salute, Marines." And walks by. "Salute, Marines." No one around him said, "Salute the Marines." He just says out loud, "Salute, Marines." No, we don't. See, this is the thing. Alex just asked me if we're going to play it. I've made a promise to not play Joe Biden's voice on the air. We don't play his voice on the air because the media has banned President Trump, or social media has banned President Trump. I'm going to try to keep that promise, but it gets more difficult the more clear it becomes that the man he's ill. Republicans, are you afraid to ask why? Who's in his ear? Someone is giving the man who's been installed into the White House instructions in his ear. And this comes on the same day that a Fox News reporter asked Jen Psaki, who's one of the most proven liars of the Obama administration, "Hey, how come Joe Biden was traipsing around the Lincoln Center with his Lincoln Monument with his family and no one was wearing masks?" And apparently, Joe Biden has discovered that when you're celebrating history, masks are unneeded. That the COVID is perfectly safe. And speaking of that, NPR has changed their tune 2 days before, or 1 day before the inauguration. NPR had a full bold headline, all caps, as pandemic increases, cases, deaths surge, all that, 400,000 dead. On the 21st, NPR, in softer font, not bolded, not all caps, informs us that the pandemic is slowing. Last night, we learned that 25,000 or so National Guardsmen are sleeping in a garage, in a basement garage, in 38 degree weather in Washington, D.C., after having been brought back there as background props. Not one Republican leader, so-called, is demanding answers to that. Texas Governor Greg Abbott has called his guard members back. Another state just called theirs back. Will so-called Governor Jay Inslee demand the return of the Washington National Guard so they don't have to sleep on the floor of a basement garage? It's a pass or fail test, Republicans. Get in the game. There are articles of impeachment filed against Joe Biden. And one of my listeners said it perfectly on Twitter. If they can impeach President Trump for what Joe Biden did, they can impeach Joe Biden for what Joe Biden did. Where is Mitch McConnell standing up to say, yes, we'll hear this? He's already talking about hearing a trial schedule for President Trump post-term impeachment. Mr. Constitutional, oh, Joe Biden, a career public servant, no stranger to United States Senate. I look forward to working with him. Where's Kevin McCarthy backing those articles of impeachment written by one of his House members? Pass or fail, guys. Speaking of pass or fail in Republicans, I admit this gentleman is a friend of mine. I'm proud to call him a friend. He is the King County Republican Party chair. King County in Western Washington is the county in which Seattle sits. Josh Fried posted something on Facebook that absolutely caught my attention and gave me some hope that there are Republicans who are Republican. He will join us in about 60 seconds to explain why I have some hope and to answer some hard questions about where are some of his members standing up for small businesses that are still being crushed. I don't mean with pretty words. I mean with actual actions. Get started in with that in about 60 seconds after a quick glance at traffic.
Joining me now is Josh Fried, the newly minted chair of the King County Republican Party and a friend of mine. I disclose that, Joshua, because I want people to know that I consider you a friend because I might take it easy on you. You wouldn't want any of that. Welcome back to the
show. That's never happened.
No. Welcome back. How are you?
I'm great. It's great to see you.
Good.
Appreciate you having me on.
My pleasure. Something caught my eye, man. Something caught my eye on social media. I'm going to guess you're taking some heat about this, but you put the word out to a group called Mainstream Republicans to change their name or dissolve. So let's talk about that.
You bet. Yeah. Well, I'm an equal opportunity offender, meaning last week, Lauren Culp called for a new party ultimately to be built, which is the Patriot Party. And I'm saying, no, brother, stick with us. And to the same other side, to the more moderate side, the mainstreamers have been involved for a long period of time. Even most recently, Mike Vasca, a couple days ago, wrote in the Seattle Times an op-ed, basically name-calling against other Republicans who are anywhere one or two steps to the right of him. And I just don't think that kind of division helps build a party. I want people from the Tea Party, from the moderates, the mainstreamers, whatever it is, we need to stop this division because obviously factions create fractures throughout the party, and we're weakened by these attacks from within. And so the Democrats love when we're divided amongst each other. They're going to continue to move in their socialist ways. And so we Republicans need to stop the name calling and find ways we can look for common ground issues and we can bring those solutions to the table. You know, we've talked a lot about heroin injection sites in the past, how Democrats are moving those plans forward. We, the Republican Party, actually have plans of detox recovery and getting people back way on the pathways to success. Those are the things the Republican Party stands for. And these inner party battles and trying to pull people away to their own agendas is hurting us overall.
So, you know, we can talk about Lauren Culp and that dynamic. I happen to stand with Lauren ideologically, and I don't see any real daylight between us in terms of ideology. I have some experience with the mainstream Republicans, and my experience with them is they exist to torpedo conservative candidates to make sure a conservative never wins.
Well, I've experienced that myself. They entered a candidate into the governor's race, ended up having multiple different candidates in there. They had injected several candidates in the lieutenant governor's race to the point that we didn't even end up with a Republican on the general ballot. And so when they don't like a certain position of a candidate running out there, they decide to basically torpedo it, like you said. And so if they are going to litmus test candidates to death because they don't completely identify with their agenda, that's going to hurt us overall as a party. And right now, you can look at the success or lack thereof that we've had in the state of Washington today. We only have one statewide Republican in the name of Kim Wyman. We've lost the House, we've lost the Senate, and of course, nationwide, that's a whole different thing. But in Washington state, we're moving further and further back. The Democrats continue to take control. This is the darkest hour of the Republican Party in my history of 25 years being involved. So the status quo and how there's been division within our party is not going to work anymore. So what I'm doing, calling out and saying, mainstream Republicans, you need to disband and just join rather than continue to bring division. It's not working. I'm calling for a new day in the Republican Party in Washington state, and people don't like it. I'm getting calls. People are upset on the mainstreamer side, but I'm getting a lot more calls and support from people saying, thank you. You finally spoke out, because for some reason, people have lived in fear of the mainstream Republicans in Washington state, but they don't need to anymore.
Yeah. And I've recognized that people do have that fear. So, you know, when I was on last time hosting for Rush Limbaugh, I had made an announcement nationwide, take your Republican parties over, go to the county chairs, go to the county meetings and count how many people are there, go in as conservatives and take these parties over. And your thoughts on that?
No, we did that this year. We just did that. So we just elected county chairs to all 39 counties in Washington state. I am the new chair of the King County Republican Party. We have new chairs in Pierce County, in Thurston County, in Clark County, Kellett County, Whatcom County, new chairs in Grant County, in Chelan County. These are folks that are dedicated to conservative principles. I am thrilled beyond imagination, because I have to tell you, the 2020 election was the most divisive election that I've seen in 25 years of me being involved with the grassroots, starting as a precinct committee officer, then an area chair, then a legislative district chair. And now with these conservatives that are elected to county council positions, we came together this last weekend in the state committee. And we passed a resolution, 111-2, condemning the actions of what we saw coming out of Congress last week, the impeachment hearings, of which they weaponized the legislative process against our president. You know, the third time in my lifetime where I've seen the impeachments move in that direction. And clearly, two representatives in Congress of Republicans in Washington state let themselves be used by Nancy Pelosi. And Nancy admitted on 60 Minutes just last Sunday that she wanted to impeach Trump for the second time to prevent him running in 4 years. And here we got two Republican representatives not listening to their party anymore. I am standing, as are 111 state committee members, with our leading Congresswoman, Kathy McMorris Rodgers, and of course, our Republican president, saying that's not what impeachment is for. It's for high crimes and misdemeanors, not when you have political disagreements and they want to continue to stab a guy in the back on his way out the door. So we, the Republican Party, are more united than we ever have before. I was discouraged in 2020 with what I saw, but I think so many other conservatives were as well, which is why we just took over the Republican Party.
Okay. So, and I've been, you know, as they say, laying that advice on people across the country. Here's another thing, and this gets into the legislative, you know, the actual office holders. I had Jesse Young on my show, Representative Jesse Young. And he talked about these super legislators, that there's going to be some legislators on the floor, others not on the floor. Jesse brought that to my attention, and we brought attention on it. Republicans voted against that. Just this weekend, I saw a political consultant who works very, very closely with leadership saying you're uneducated if you believe that the Republicans are not standing up against the Democrats with JNZ's lockdown. Here's my question, Josh Fried. Show me the evidence that they're standing up. I saw a lawsuit you were a part of to sue Jay Inslee on this. I don't see the Republican leadership, JT Wilcox and the types, showing up at businesses and supporting them. I didn't see them, you know, show up to diners that are being attacked. I didn't see them show up to gyms that are being attacked. I need to see them fighting for people whose financial existences are being crushed. I need to see them on TV with pictures of the 30 of these of adolescents who've killed themselves, this 30% increase, the 2000% increase in sex trafficking in our state. I see no fire from those people in Republican leadership at all. And that's what the base is observing. We just it looks to us out here that they're frustrated, but they're not certainly not going to go to the mat for a business or for kids.
Yeah, your passion is properly directed. I hosted what's called a funeral for Washington businesses at the Capitol over the summer. At that point, there were 3,000 Washington businesses that had been permanently killed by Jay Inslee. It's not COVID, it's Jay Inslee. Well, now it's 6,000 businesses in Washington that have been permanently murdered by Jay Inslee's unconstitutional directives against each one of us. Thankfully, there are party chairs. We just formed the Corridor Coalition up and down the I-5 corridor from Clark County all the way up to Whatcom County, 10 different county chairs in different counties saying we're standing together to voice the concerns of the Republican Party. And each one of us is showing up at these different events, like you say, at Spiffy's or the like, to say we are united, the Republican Party, to stand up for businesses. We want to open up the economy. We can do so safely. We want to get kids back into the classroom because right now they are extremely depressed and many suicidal and many sadly have already taken their life. Not because of COVID, but because Jay Inslee says, stay home, stay safe. We, the Republican Party, are the party of individual liberties. We're the party of the Constitution. And we've seen now the Democrat Party has become the party of death, division, and destruction. That is not just a callous statement, but I went to Chaz. If you tried to share your First Amendment rights, they would drag you out violently or shoot you where you stand. And where is the condemnation from the state party chair of the Democrat Party? Nowhere. I asked them this week, I said, hey, Tina, state party chair of the Democrats, join me. And I also asked the King County Democrat chair, join me in condemning the violence that we've seen over the last year. You know the response, Todd? Josh, you're a racist misogynist. I mean, what does that have to do with calling out the violence and the lies that were taken? They cannot argue truth. They can only argue or name call, rather. Calling me a racist. You know who I am, Todd. You've seen the life that I've lived, my wife's passion to serve around the world, because we treat each person as equal in God's eyes. And so now what we've seen coming out of the legislature this week is legislators have laid down their elected duties and given them to the governor. They're giving him more power in the emergency declaration. Why even have the legislators in Olympia or even on Zoom like they're doing across the state? It's time that we take back our government. People need to wake up and truly see what's going on around us. Your leadership, your passion on this issue is really needed.
Well, I appreciate that. And it's, you know, it's look, Josh, the fact is we're in a death struggle with communism. And
oh, yeah,
we're in a death struggle with the takeover. That many people feel elections aren't sound. They don't trust the system. And I would love to be able to say, well, you should trust the system. And right now I can't say you that you should trust the system. This is a last gasp moment, in my judgment, for the United States, Josh. So with this now newly conservative, newly aligned Republican Party in the most bizarre of the socialist experiment states, Washington State, are you looking for fresh, smart, energetic, conservative blood to take an actual fight to Olympia?
Absolutely. You know, we have the conservative principles would matter and actually make differences. We have the solutions that enable people or equip people to, you know, create their own businesses. And rather than penalize businesses that are creating jobs, but actually recruit them to the state of Washington, we're the party that says, no, we value your life. When you're addicted to drugs and alcohol, we don't want to enable you and leave you there. We want to get you on a pathways back to success. So I'm inviting conservatives, people with a heart of compassion, saying we need to turn around what we're seeing. I'm in the 13th largest county in America as the chair. This is the socialism center of America. Listen, when I went to Chaz, they call it their bastion of socialism in their Emerald City. It was failed. It was collapsed. They broke into 67 different Asian businesses, raped girls in the street, and shot people when they disagree with them. That is what we're seeing from leadership in Seattle today. It is an embarrassment. It is no longer something that we should accept. But I'm looking for the leaders in the room, and it's time that we stand up, because our future literally depends on it. We're watching America, which people have given their lives and bled for, being stole from us right before our eyes. Conservatives need to wake up, and they also need to stop whining and complaining from their armchairs or the safety of a keyboard. We need people to be with us as volunteers, knocking on their neighbors' doors, going to community meetings, and speaking the truth of which we know are We have a constitution that says we have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And we are the defenders of that. Listen, I think of so many immigrants that have moved here. We helped 40 different folks move from Vietnam to my home several years ago because they were escaping socialism. They're coming here because of the principles of the Republican platform, and somehow we've let the Democrats incorporate them into their party. No, we need to say that we stand up for that freedom of which many people are moving to America for. We need to rebrand the Republican Party, and we need to bring more people together under the truth of which we operate. But a few thoughts on that, Todd.
Just a few shots. Okay, that's Josh Fried, the newly minted King County chair of the Republican Party, and it appears to be a newly conservative, newly aligned Republican Party. Thanks for coming on the program, sir. Go with God's good grace.
God bless you as well, my friend.
And the text line is 800-465-8770. What do you think? You buy it? Give Josh your feedback, 800-465-8770. We'll get your text messages on the air so Josh can hear what you think about what he said. We'll come back on the Todd Herman Show. Funny thing about timing, isn't it? Isn't just timing just utterly fascinating? Jeff Bezos apparently believes that the COVID so-called vaccines. Yep, I'm using the phrase so-called. I'll tell you why. He apparently believes they save lives. And I know this because he's decided to do a one-day pop-up stabby in the arm with an experimental mRNA injection event in Seattle. This is after the orange man, who is, of course, bad, is no longer in the White House. And Joe Biden's dementia, which takes instructions from someone speaking in his ear, salute Marines, is now in the White House, which would mean that Jeff Bezos, by his measure, preferred to kill people rather than help President Trump. I don't think that the vaccines rise to that level of importance. Well, and I have good evidence for that. The evidence is now 14,000 people in Israel who have tested positive after having gotten the vaccine, which makes sense because Pfizer's chief executive over the vaccine production said, we don't know if this will actually protect you from getting the COVID. It's just a part of our look at what the technocrats are doing to us.
Do you read me, Hal?
Affirmative, Dave. I read you.
Open the pod bay doors, Hal.
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that.
What's the problem?
I think you know what the problem is just as well as I do. This mission is too important for me to allow you to jeopardize it. I'm afraid that's something I cannot allow to happen.
So Dr. Death, Dr. Tony Fauci, said yesterday that I don't want to lie. It's liberating to not be working for Trump. Because all of a sudden, Fauci can say what he wants to say. The same Fauci who says what he wants to say whenever he wants to say it. The same Fauci who one day said, if I were young, you know, I mean, I would take a cruise to Italy. You get good prices right now when the virus was here. The next day said, we're going to have to shut the country down. It's just, there's no choice. If we don't, then everybody will die. That same Fauci is now saying this about the so-called vaccines.
Best case scenario for me is that we'd get 85% of the people vaccinated by the end of the summer. If we do, Then by the time we get to the fall, I think we can approach a degree of normality.
Okay, so that's a nice nice Christmas you're planning next year. But if you don't get an experimental mRNA shot in your arm, which, as was revealed yesterday, is 85 times more likely to kill you than the flu vaccine and 35 times more likely to put you in the emergency room, well, then, you know, you may not have a Christmas. I may go to the person who speaks in the earpiece in Joe Biden's ear when he's given a speech and say, "Oh, we're canceling Christmas. Come on, man. Come on. I can smell the COVID dust from here, man." That's the state of things. So why am I calling this a so-called vaccine? 14,000 people get this junk in Israel, and then they test positive for the COVID. 85 times the rate of death versus the flu vaccine. 35 times more likely to put you in the ER as the flu vaccine. You know your immune system can take care of this in 99.87% of the cases if you're below 65 and healthy. And then there's this. This is one of the health ministers in the UK, Patrick Vallance. And he has a warning for people in the UK.
We still got some question marks as to how effective a vaccine will be, and those studies need to be continued. And I, as I said earlier, I think it's likely that we will need to have modified vaccines in due course. I think that will be something that's going to be a regular feature of this. And fortunately, the new vaccine technologies, particularly the messenger RNA vaccines, are relatively easy to change. So you can sort of almost dial up a change. It then takes a few weeks, obviously, for that to be made and to come through.
I want to make sure you heard what that man said. And again, I will accept from all my friends and former friends in media apologies to me. You can do it in person or you can email me. And it's not like I shouldn't be the one who reported this. This is nuts. I'm a rodeo clown. And yet, I've spent my life assimilating information and working in high tech. I had to be able to speak to engineers and read high-level papers, and so I learned how to do that. I have been communicating to people that Bill Gates sees you as an operating system and me as an operating system. Bill wants to produce the apps. Listen again to what this person says about getting a so-called vaccine every year. And then remember to add, because of a flu with a 99.87% survival rate.
We still got some question marks as to how effective a vaccine will be, and those studies need to be continued. And I, as I said earlier, I think it's likely that we will need to have modified vaccines in due course. I think that will be something that's going to be a regular modified feature of this. And fortunately, the new vaccine technologies, particularly the messenger RNA vaccines, are relatively easy to change. So you can sort of almost dial up a change. It then takes a few weeks, obviously, for that to be made and to come through.
Got it? They can update the code. Everyone dig it. They can update the code. In case too many people are blue screening. They're telling you you're being injected with an experimental serum of mRNA that may need to be updated now and again. And they want you to trust your lives with this? They're telling you at the same time in the UK, don't hug your kids, even if you have the experimental mRNA in your veins, in your body. producing proteins that it's never produced before. But at least we know this. At least when people die from these vaccines, as is happening, or are being hospitalized, as is happening, because they have lost temporarily, we hope, the ability to feed themselves. At least we know this. None of the pharmaceutical companies will have to pay a single dime or penny or pound in damages. You will. The taxpayer will pay these damages for an experimental piece of genetic code that we're now told needs to have constant updates. Good thing it's not a swindle, because that'd be really, really bad. Come back on the Todd Herman Show after we check traffic with the Right Way Traffic. Thanks for listening to the Todd Herman Show. And yeah, I do look at the other side of vaccines, because I've been pro-vaccine my whole life. And if you want to take these things, I just have, this is the COVID so-called vaccines. I just have this question for you. I do. Since we're learning that it doesn't actually stop you from getting the COVID, since people are being told they still have to mask up and isolate themselves from contact with other human beings, and now we've learned they have to be updated every so often, maybe even every year, the code changed slightly in your body. Why? The benefit is what? 50% of healthcare workers in Miami-Dade, 50% have refused the vaccines. This is happening all around the country. In Chicago, it was 60% at one hospital. New York, it's running at about 50%. Hospital companies are bribing people to take them. And remember this. Dot, dot, dot. All for a flu with a 99.87% survivability rate. Speaking of the flu, this is Jen Psaki. Jen Psaki worked for Barack Obama. She was on the team who edited a video. They put up on the White House a video completely edited to change the actual things that they said. Then they denied it. Oh, it was a mistake. And then people came back and said, what? You rearranged what people said. That's not a mistake. You put it in out of order and put it back in a different order. She was asked by Fox News reporter, why did Joe Biden say through his dementia that everybody on federal land, federal property, has to wear a mask, and then he and his family went to the Lincoln Monument not masked?
But as Joe Biden often talks about, it is not just important the example of power, but the power of our example. Was that a good example for people who are watching who might not pay attention normally?
Well, Steve, I think the power of his example is also the message he sends by signing 25 executive orders, including almost half of them related to COVID. The requirements that we're all under every single day here to ensure we're sending that message to the public. Yesterday was a historic moment in our history. He was inaugurated as president of the United States. He was surrounded by his family. We take a number of precautions, but I think we have bigger issues to worry about at this moment in time.
Said an unmasked Jen Psaki. Unmasked. Biden has since been seen indoors unmasked. It's theater. They all know it's theater. This is also theater. And we're not supposed to admit that Pete Buttigieg has been selected to be the head of the National Transportation Administration because he's gay. But he is there because he's gay, period. And they conned him. They bribed him to get it out of the presidential race. He has the opposite of experience in any intense transportation infrastructure. The opposite. He failed as in his small town mayorship. He has been selected for this because he is gay. Ted Cruz asked him about canceling Keystone and all these union jobs and this energy independence for the United States and in North America.
Well, I think the most important thing is to make sure that we make good on the promise of the president's climate vision as being one that on net creates far more jobs, millions, we hope. I know that won't just happen. We'll have to do a lot of work to make sure that's real. But getting this right means ensuring that there are more good-paying union jobs for all Americans delivered through that infrastructure vision.
So for those workers, the answer is somebody else will get a job?
The answer is that we are very eager to see those workers continue to be employed in good-paying union jobs, even if they might be different ones.
Oh, different ones. Incidentally, that man in that position, because he's a gay man, and the tragedy of this is, I bet listening to this show, there's 100, maybe 1,000 gay people 50 times as qualified as that gay person. This is the game they play. We'll come back on the Todd Herman Show.